The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that everyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, everybody. Listen, I don't usually use props during my homily, but this week it seemed to be fitting and appropriate, so here goes. This is a gift that was given to me. It's not a drawing. It's not a painting. It's an artwork that's done entirely with stitches of yarn. And the lady who made it told me that every stitch represents a Hail Mary that she prayed for my well-being, which makes it one of the most valuable gifts I've ever received. It's an image of Christ our Lord. He's standing next to a door. In one hand, he has a lamp. In the other hand, he's knocking on the door, and he's leaning in, and he's leaning in as if to anticipate any sound that might come from inside, acknowledging that he's standing there. It's painted originally in an artwork by a British artist. His name is Holman Hunt. And it's based on a passage from the book of Revelation in which Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would open to me, I will enter and dine with him and he with me." Now, when this painting was first made, people resolutely, roundly criticized the artist because they noticed that on the door, there was no doorknob. And they said, "You dingleberry, don't you realize doors should have knobs?" And the artist says, "I did that on purpose because this door represents the door of the human heart. The only handle is on the inside. The heart is a door that only you can open." Now, we're in a very special time right now. It's time that only comes once every 3 years. For 5 straight weeks, our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We only do this once every 3 years. And John chapter 6 is important. Do you know why? I hope you all know why. John chapter 6 is important because it's the first time Jesus ever tells the people about the Eucharist, and in all the Gospels, John 6 is the best explanation of the Eucharist that we have. If you didn't know that already, I hope you file that one away in your long-term memory. John chapter 6, all about the Eucharist for 5 straight weeks. Next week it gets interrupted by a feast day, but 4 out of 5 is not bad, okay? So the Eucharist, there's so many things we could talk about when we talk about the Eucharist. First and foremost, and that cannot be overemphasized, the Eucharist is the real presence of Jesus Christ. Whenever I prepare second graders to make their first communion, I always ask them one question. I say, tell me, what is the Eucharist in just one word, no more than a one-word answer? What's the Eucharist? Of course, the answer to that question is Jesus. The Eucharist is Jesus. We believe that that host is actually him. Can't overemphasize that. All kinds of things you could talk about when talking about the Eucharist. You could talk about the blessings of the Eucharist. You could talk about the grace of the Eucharist. This week, I want to talk about just one thing. I want to talk about the importance of your response to the Blessed Sacrament, the importance of your response to what God is doing. And that might make this the simplest homily that I've ever given. In the Gospels, Jesus says to the crowd, "Nobody can come to me unless the Father draws him, but not even God will force your hand. Even God awaits your response. God is a gentleman, and he forces himself on nobody." How important is your response? How important is your response? Here's how important. Anybody can receive communion. Anybody can receive a host. All you have to do is open your mouth. But if you want to receive the Lord, you got to open wide your heart. I'm going to help you do that today. Just a few little thoughts to think about. Here's the first. Did you know that every sacrament that we celebrate works in two ways, right? Two ways. It works, as we say, ex opere operato and ex opere operantis. Tiny little explanation of what those things mean, okay? First, ex opere operato. It's Latin, and it means by the work done, and it means that in every sacrament that's celebrated, the one who's doing the work is Jesus Christ himself. Every sacrament, in a sense, is celebrated by a minister, of course, but the one who's doing the work, making it real, that's Jesus Christ himself. So, you baptize a little baby. Who baptizes? Jesus Christ baptizes. The soul comes into confession, pours out his heart, confesses all of his sins, and he receives the forgiveness of his sins right there on the spot. Who forgives his sins? Jesus Christ forgives his sins. Priest stands at the altar, offers the body and blood of Christ, offers the bread and wine that's going to become no less than the body and blood of Christ. By whose power is that body and blood made present? By the power of Jesus Christ himself. He's always the one at work. Now, here's what that means for you. That means that as long as your priest does what the church asks of him, in the way that the church asks, he can't mess up a sacrament. It's your guarantee. This is good news. This is really good news. You could have the best priest in the entire world, or the worst priest in the entire world, or anything in between. As long as your priest does what the church asks of him, the sacrament's always the same. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one who's at work. That's ex opere operato. But there's another way the sacraments work. And the phrase is ex opere operantis. Once again, that's Latin, and it means by the work being done. And it's a fancy way of saying that what you get out of it is what you put into it. Is the Eucharist the same for everybody who receives it? Yes, it is. Does Jesus hold anything of himself back when he offers you the Blessed Sacrament? No, he doesn't. Is there enough grace in one host to make you a saint today? Believe it or not, yes, there is. But every single person in this church here today is going to receive a different amount of grace from the exact same host. What's the difference? The difference is in our response. That's ex opere operantis. That's what it means. So two people come forward to receive communion. Two people. Try to imagine. One of them is prayerful, recollected, mindful of what he's about to do. Real recently, he's made a good confession. Soul is as clean as a newborn baby. Comes forward prayerfully, receives the host best he possibly can, goes back and prays right there on the spot as best as circumstances will allow. Next person walks forward and receives the Eucharist, and they're indifferent, and they're not mindful, and they haven't been to confession in years. And as soon as they receive the host, they make their way straight to the nearest exit and walk out and go out the parking lot. Have both people received Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament? Yes. Have both people received the same amount of grace and blessings from God? Not even close. Not even close. Is the difference in Christ our Lord, or is the difference in ourselves? You know the answer, because that is a rhetorical question. Okay, so let me tell you here, there's a couple little ways to help you to receive the Eucharist as well as you possibly can. Okay, a couple ways. Here's the first. The first is really simple. Be sure that you are in a state of grace. This is something that we think everyone knows, but apparently not everybody knows. You got to be in a state of grace to receive the Eucharist. That means that if you're conscious of serious sin, you shouldn't come to communion. You should go to confession first. Be reconciled. The one who puts this most bluntly is St. Paul. He says this to the Corinthians. He says, if someone comes to receive from the table of the Lord unworthily, that person receives not a blessing in the body and blood of Christ. Rather, he eats and drinks a judgment on his own head. And we don't want that. We don't want that at all. Be sure you're in a state of grace. Go to confession first if you have serious sins to confess, and that's the first way to be ready for communion. The second is this. We want to receive this host as prayerfully and devoutly as we possibly can. And that takes preparation. Second Vatican Council said that the Eucharist is the source and the summit of the spiritual life. Source and the summit of the spiritual life. How is the Eucharist the source of the spiritual life? It's the source of the spiritual life because it's Jesus himself. Can't get much more source than that. How's the Eucharist the summit of the spiritual life? It's the summit of the spiritual life, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a union with God so deep that you will not see anything at all like it in your life this side of heaven. There is simply no union with God closer this side of heaven than receiving communion. Now, I know it doesn't always feel like it. I know that well. But you know what we do? We put faith ahead of feelings. And keep that in mind. And while you're keeping that in mind, keep this in mind. When you receive communion, they say that that host stays in you for 15 minutes. Now, that might vary based on your metabolism, but, you know, give or take, they say that host remains in you for 15 minutes. So think about that for a second. Imagine this. Imagine you had 15 minutes with the Pope. No crowds, no press, nobody else around, just the two of you. 15 minutes, you and the Pope. Would you prepare for that meeting? Of course you would. You'd know it's coming, you'd anticipate it, you'd get ready for it, you'd think about what you're going to say, you would prepare. You wouldn't walk in cold, you wouldn't walk in dumbfounded. What an incredible waste of time that would be, right? Every once in a while, one of us priests, we have to go down and talk to the bishop. We'll pick up the phone, we'll get the bishop on the phone, make an appointment, drive down to the chancery, talk to the bishop. Let me tell you, we're prepared, okay? You put on your finest, you take your jacket to the dry cleaner first, you know exactly what you're going to say. Sometimes you even write down notes on a card, and by gumbit, when that moment comes, you're ready, right? You're prepared. But every single time you receive communion, you've got an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ himself, and we don't prepare. And we don't prepare, and we should prepare as best we can. Now, the time to prepare to receive communion is not when you're standing in the communion line. The time to prepare when you receive communion is not even when you're praying along with the priest when you're sitting here at Mass. And here's hoping that you are praying along with the priest when you're sitting here at Mass. The time to prepare to receive communion is not even in the quiet minutes before Mass begins, if you're fortunate enough even to have those quiet minutes. The time to prepare to receive communion, ladies and gentlemen, is all week long. All week long. This Eucharist is the center of your entire spiritual life. You should be preparing for it every day before you go to sleep at night. You say, Lord, help me to be ready for receive the Blessed Sacrament. Before you wake up in the morning, you take a moment and you pray. Lord, help me to be ready to receive you in the Blessed Sacrament. It should be something that we do all day in what we do, in what we say, in what we think. That's the way to be ready. Go to confession if you need to. Let me tell you, when you receive communion, it'll be like receiving communion for the very first time. I knew a priest once, and he said, if I've received communion well in a day, it doesn't really matter what else has happened to me that day. It doesn't matter if bad things have happened. If I've received communion well, not only has that been a good day, that has been a perfect day. A little something to keep in mind now as we continue to meditate on the reality of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Every person in this church will receive a different amount of grace from the same host because Jesus fills what capacity you bring him. Our Lord fills only what capacity you bring to him. He said to the crowd, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Let's open wide our hearts to receive him then. And then we really will taste and see that God is good. Amen.